I need to introduce our speaker this morning. I've introduced Bob to you guys before, and so Bob is the new director of development for I-58. Now, if you're not sure what I-58 is, if you're new, we started a community development corporation in order to minister to a neighborhood that's right behind the facilities here, a neighborhood called East Chester. We've been building a house, and Bob has this unique skill set. He's been a pastor for about a quarter of a century. That's 25 years, right? Okay. All right.
Yeah. Close enough.
Yeah. And he's also a residential general contractor, has his license. And so a lot of what we're doing is housing, and for him to be able to bring ministry and construction to this whole thing is just a beautiful thing. And then his wife, Linda, has been ministering, and there's some exciting things. And so we just wanted to open our hearts to them, and they're opening their hearts to us. We're glad that God has sent them. And Bob is bringing the message today because when we were talking about East Chester, we were talking about bringing small groups where we could have groups that are meeting in the neighborhoods in different streets. And Bob was just sharing his heart for ministry and groups, and my spirit was just about to leap. I mean, I was like, woo! And I left we had breakfast at Bojangles, and I left there, and I'm like, man, Bob needs to share that. And so I just texted him and said, man, would you share what you shared earlier? I just want you to share your heart. And he said, you can guess. And he said, yeah, I'll be glad to. So this is Bob Scroggs. Bob, thank you for sharing your heart, brother.
Thank you, brother. Woo! Well, that worship was awesome, wasn't it? Good night. I'm all worked up. I don't know about you. I think it's good to sweat in the house of God. I'm serious now, y'all. I'm not kidding. I really believe it's a good thing, and it's good for us to get excited about what God's doing. It's kind of hard to follow the Holy Spirit like that, though, you know? You know what we don't do? We don't follow Him, do we? We just walk in Him. Amen? Kevin, I appreciate this. I do. I love you, brother. And I've been out of ministry for a period of time until this week, so I've been resting, and I appreciate the rest, too. And by the way, I appreciate the revelation that comes from your heart. I've received a lot during my couple of months off, and I'm so thankful for that. You fed me well, and I appreciate that. This church has spoken to me. You folks have placed a mandate on me this morning. I want you to know that that's what's happening today. This is not just a message, a sermon. I think sermons are good. They're general, though. When you have a word from God, though, that's an individual, single-purposed word that God wants to share with you. And I really feel a mandate today to bring a word to you, a word from God to you, so that you understand that this is God trying to move you to the next level. All right? And I'm excited about being able to talk to you about small groups. As Brother Kevin just said, I want to share with you the passion that God's given me for small groups. And I want to share with you what happened through that passion in small groups so that you can sort of see it visually. And I'm praying and have been praying ever since Kevin asked me to speak that you would receive the vision. Now listen. Every one of us need to walk by vision. Please understand this. It's not good to come in and out of a building and do the spiritual things, okay, and not be changed. But you understand it's only people that live by vision that anything ever really changes in their life. Vision moves us. It motivates us. Habakkuk chapter 3, you can go read this later on, chapter 3, I think it's verse 3, says God speaking to the prophet Habakkuk, and he's saying, look, I want to move my people, but listen really close. You have to write the vision down and make it plain so that the man that runs with it will finish well. Okay? So what I want to do today is I want to give you vision for what a small group, your small group, what God is trying to do, not just for you, but for this community. Because I firmly believe that in the kingdom, God don't give you anything He don't expect you to give away. You can say amen to that, right? Amen. All right. I want you to do something as we start. Would you turn to someone and tell them You coming here today has blessed me so much. Would you do that real quick? Just do that right now. Okay. All right. Now, wait a minute. I saw every one of you. Most of you turned to your spouse or your child or someone that you're comfortable with, right? Yeah, I saw you. So we're going to do this again, all right? Y'all ready? That was sort of one of those uncomfortable laughs, all right? That's what that was. It's okay. It's all right. You're with God's people. This is the ecclesia, the gathering, okay? All right? So here's what I want you to do. You may have to move to do this. Go to someone that you don't ordinarily talk to and tell them, you being here today has really blessed me. Get up and go do that if you have to get up and go do that. Really important. Thank you for coming here today, man. It's good to have you. Amen. Okay, so just so you know, I just did that for a specific reason, okay? Because what you just experienced is what small groups accomplishes in a community. Okay, now I want you to get the picture of this, okay? I am you, okay? I'm you. I'm the church. And you are the community, all right? And what just happened there was I just motivated a group of people to go and do something that I could not accomplish. And guess what just happened? Everybody in the room got what they needed from it. See, Kevin can't get around to everybody every Sunday morning or even during the week that week. He can try. His wife will miss him. He can't get around to every single person and say, you being here today has blessed me so much and I am so thankful that you're here. He can't do it to everybody. He can't. So you know what God says? God says that we should love one another, huh? He was speaking to small groups. He was speaking to people that understand how the church really is supposed to work. Because God don't really call the pastor to the community service. The Bible says in Romans that Ephesians says Jesus brought these five giftings to equip the saints. Y'all know what the giftings are? Apostles, prophets, remember? Evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This is Jesus' gift to the church so that they can equip the church to go do the work of the ministry. See, the whole time, God was planning on small groups. And I'm going to show it to you here in just a moment in the book of Acts. The whole time in God's design, He meant for the church to be small before it got big. But you know what happened in Acts chapter 2, right? It got big real quick. And I've got a question. Where did they put them? There were no church buildings until the 3rd century. None. Where did they put them all? How did that actually work? So I want you to get your Bible out. Okay, all right, just real quick, I got to do this too. I've been waiting to do this. Everybody hold up your Bible. Everybody just look around real quick, would you? It's tight in here. Cell phones to books. You know what? I've been dying to have a sword drill to find out which one's the quickest. No, you know what the cool thing about a cell phone and God's Word is? And by the way, I'm not necessarily, I'm encouraging you to do this, but do you realize that if you're carrying a cell phone and God speaks to you, that worship that just happened, brother, the drummer that got up here in the middle of the worship and all that stuff, buddy, that stuff moves me. I'm going to tell you what, that stuff makes me want to jump out of my skin. All right? Because when I see God moving on other people, it changes me. Amen? That's the way it works. But you know what happens? If you're carrying a cell phone and it's a smartphone and you can connect to the internet, when God speaks to you, why don't you tweet that thing? Because there's people out there reading. Sure, it's like it could be international ministry while you're sitting in the worship service. Why don't you text your family members and say, man, God just spoke to me and this is what he said. Go to the book of Acts. I want to show you a few things here that I think is going to really bless you and encourage you. And by the way, I need to thank the church for I-58. What a powerful thing. That chapter, Isaiah chapter 58, I've been reading that just numerous times, just over and over and over again. And I see the vision of what God has called you to in this community. And it's so exciting to see what God is doing, where God is taking this body, this group of people. And every time I read that chapter, I want you to know that God puts something about this church in my heart, and I pray about it for you. I seek God on your behalf, because there's no way we're going to get God's stuff accomplished without shaking the gates of heaven, okay? And so I'm just so thankful for that. I started this past Wednesday, I believe, or Tuesday, something like that. And if you want to pray for me, and if you have something to pray about when it comes to I-58, you pray that God will bring funds to us. We need money now, right now. As a matter of fact, I'm looking for money. If you got some, I'll take it right now. Should we take up an offering? No, I'm just kidding. But if you and I'm telling you, I've been asking God to send money to his people, because you understand that God wants you to be strong financially so that the kingdom can move as he moves upon you to move it. It's called sowing seed, by the way. All right? But I want you to know that we need funds so that we can go out there and actually do what God's called us to do, right? And that's make a difference in people's lives. Yeah, we're going to go out there and meet people's needs. We're going to fix roofs and porches and all kinds of things. We're going to do those things, and they're going to know by the time we leave their house that Jesus loves them the way that song said he loves them. Does anybody feel owned by God after that song? I'm telling you, that's an incredible song. So I just want to thank you for that, and I'm very excited about what God's doing in that regard. I also wanted to share with you that when we consider and understand what God was trying to do, if we go to the book of Acts, we can find the true church, and I really mean the true church that God means for us to understand. I want to show you that today. Listen, before I begin that, I realize that many of us have experienced other things in churches. I know this church was founded upon this vision of being a church that goes into the community. And I love that. By the way, original vision is really important. I'll tell you about that some other time maybe, but it's really amazing because God is the giver of the vision. But anyway, you understand that as we look at the book of Acts, we need to have a completely open mind and open heart to what God says the church looks like. Just recently, I've done a study on what the Bible actually says the church ought to look like. And I'm just going to tell you, you can write this reference down, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. God spoke to me specifically out of the... I've been studying the spiritual gifts, which our brother's teaching on as well. And chapter 14, God told me to stop reading that from the perspective I always read it from and start reading it from the understanding of this is what it looks like when you get together. This is what it's supposed to look like. Because he keeps saying it over and over again in that chapter. When you gather and this and this and this is going on, then what about this? It's really important that we're able to receive. So I want you to open your heart and listen to what the Word has to say. Acts chapter 1, we're going to watch the beginning of a church, the church. Of course, we know Acts chapter 2 is the incredible Spirit-filling moment, the release of the Spirit upon all flesh. We understand the power of the Spirit of God from what we see in chapter 2 on. Chapter 1, I want to start there because I want you to know where the church began at, okay? In verse 15, you can find that there's 120 people that eventually show up at the upper room. Now, I want you to see this as well. There's a scripture back at the end of John where it says that there was a number of people, 500, that saw Jesus ascend to heaven and heard him say, "Go to Jerusalem and wait to be endued with power from on high." Okay? Now, my question is where's the other 380? Have you ever asked the question before? There's only 120 that actually show up in the upper room and then receive the baptism of the Spirit and walk in the power of the Spirit from that moment on. So Acts chapter 1, we see the church begin with 120. Now flip over to Acts chapter 2, and let's look at verse 41. Acts chapter 2, 41, it says, "So those who accepted this message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added." Now, you know what just happened? Peter just preached an amazing message, and 3,000 people were saved, and immediately the New Testament church becomes a mega church. Just like that. Snap of a finger. Now, I want you to look on down that chapter a little bit farther. Look at verse 47, because it says in verse 47, it says, "They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and every day the Lord added to them those that were being saved." On a daily process, God was adding to the church daily those that were being saved. All right, so not only was there 3,000 people plus the 120, but now we have daily addition coming into the church through this ministry, and I'm believing and understanding, and I'm going to show you the verse, that it is small group ministry that most of this ministry was coming through. Now go to chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. Okay, now we got another big addition to the church. Any normal preacher is about to pull his hair out, probably right after the 3,000 one. But when the 5,000 come, he's about to have a heart attack. All right? Because in the old church, the way it was is, we're going to sit here and pay somebody to do something that we don't want to do. That's hard to say amen to, isn't it? Yeah, that one's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah, but I'm telling you, that's sort of the premise, the concept, the idea. We're going to hire somebody to do all the work to meet all these people's needs, and then we're going to come and cheer him on every Sunday morning. Not very effective, by the way, and that's why the church seems to be dying in some terms. Now, so Acts chapter 4, we see 5,000 more, and anybody got a calculator, want to keep up with these numbers, it would help me out a lot. Chapter 5, verse 14, let's go to that one real quick. 5 verse 14 says this, it says, "Believers were added to the Lord, and the numbers increased, crowds of both men and women." We don't even know. I think the King James uses the word multitude there. Anytime in the Bible when it says there was a multitude, it means that there was an incalculable number. In other words, they couldn't count them all. So now the church is growing and growing so much now that they can't even count them anymore. Verse 28 of that same chapter, it says, "Didn't we strictly order you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to bring this man's blood on us." Did you hear that, church? Did you hear that? Because I think that's what our vision is. Let's fill Chester with Jesus. Amen. Well, you understand, not only the people need to proliferate, but the message has to grow as well. So we see in chapter 5, turn over to chapter 6, verse 7. "So the preaching about God flourished, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith." And you can see growing and growing and growing. And then back in Acts chapter 21, just flip over there and we're going to move on from here because, wow, I only got 15 more minutes. Did y'all bring lunch today? Okay. Look at verse 20. When they heard it, they glorified God and said, "You see, brothers, how many thousands of Jews there are who have believed, and they are zealous for the law." Literally, if you look at the original language, you'll find out that that verse literally means to say this, that there are tens of thousands of believers now. This is toward the end of the book of Acts. Now, this is a few years later, or at least a couple of years later, and there are tens of thousands of believers now in this city of Jerusalem. And literally, Jerusalem at this time is believed to be about 200,000 people or so. And it sounds like if you were to calculate the number, that really probably half of those is what most scholars believe have become believers walking in Jesus Christ, living by faith. Amazing, isn't it? And I come back to the question, where did they put them all? What was God's design? Was His design to build buildings and set a sort of a system that we could sort of function out of, kind of like a corporation, a man over the corporation that takes care of all the tough stuff, and then the workers come and all of these things? Is that what God wanted? Or do we see something else? Now go to Acts chapter 5. Now we're going to go back to Acts chapter 5. We're going to start finding out what happened. And then I want to give you some vision. Verse 42 of chapter 5. Does someone have the NIV? Do you have an invite? Would you stand up, brother, and read that verse, please? This translation is the best one that I could find. Acts chapter 5, verse 42.
Right here?
Yeah.
Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching.
Did you hear that? Oh, they had big worship services in the temple courts. You realize that no one got to go into the temple, right, except one time a year. And then there was, in the holy place, there was the priests that were doing their ministry. But the temple really was the presence of God, the dwelling place, what the name actually means. They met in the temple courts. I've been to the temple courts. I've been to Jerusalem. I've been up on the mount. You could have 100,000 people up there. It's huge. They had big gatherings where the apostles taught their doctrine. I'm not going to deny the concept and understanding of us needing to be preached and to learn, to hear the evangelist and to hear the apostle who is the one who brings change into the church. And by the way, the reason why the church is where it's at is because we voted the apostle out a long time ago. He's the one that brings the change. An apostle who has that gifting can walk into a body, and in a second, the Spirit of God will tell him, "You go tell them this is what needs to change in this body so it can grow." God didn't leave us down here with some plan that man has to come up with to fulfill. That's not the way God did it. They went house to house, is what the Scripture says. Now, just for lack of time, I'm going to jump, go to Romans chapter 16, because I'm going to show you this in some other references. See, that's not the only place. Let me show you this. Romans chapter 16, verse 3 through 5. And of course, you know, this is the last chapter of Romans, so this is a salutation. Paul is sort of saluting and done with the letter, so he's sort of moving away. And he says this to them. He says, "Give greetings to Priscilla and Aquila." I don't have time to go into all this stuff today, but amazing. "These are co-workers of Jesus Christ who risked their own necks for my life. Not only do I thank them, but so do also the Gentile churches." You know what was happening here in Romans chapter 16? And some translations have this in there, probably yours again, brother. But it says this. It says, "Greet also the church that meets in their home." Did y'all get that? God really didn't mean for this to work this way. Now, there's one more reference I want to show you. Galatians chapter 6. And then we're going to You can probably put your Bible down after that, and we're just going to look at a few things. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Let me start in verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so you won't be tempted also. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's something to hear that, isn't it? How many times have you got to carry someone else's burden? How often does that happen in your life? Or like James chapter 5 says, verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. How often does that happen in normal life, our normal? Can I tell you this? Since I've been out of ministry for 2 months, it hasn't happened at all. Not at all. And that saddens my heart. Because, see, the power of God is seen here. Did you hear that? If you'll do that, healing will come. It's a promise. God wants you involved in the kingdom. He wants you to experience it. You know that's what Jesus' life was, right? All it was a revelation of how the kingdom works. When you get in a crowd of people of 5,000, in the kingdom, that's not a problem. Food is not an issue. Workers are an issue, but food is not an issue. Because in the kingdom, he wanted to show us, this is how it works in my Father's house. Dad, just show them who you are. 5,000 people fed to the full. When the leper comes running to you, you don't have to run from them. Not in the kingdom. That's not how it works. In the kingdom, you don't talk to them. You reach out and touch them. Because in my Father's house, there is no disease. That's what his life was. It was just a picture one day after another, a moving picture of the kingdom of God. What God meant for you and you and you and you to live in. And through small groups is about the only way that we actually get to do that. It's something to have experienced things in small groups that are unexplainable. We started small groups at our church with a small number of people. And I promise you, literally, 1 week later, we had our first meeting with just a few people. I think there was seven or eight. By the way, the smaller the group, the better. So some of you leaders who don't have a big number of people coming to your group yet, please do not worry about that. Do not be concerned about that. The smaller, the better. I think we started with 8 people. The next week, we had 25. The next week, we had 37. I hadn't even had time to train leaders yet. So I'm trying to do a small group with 40 people now, which, by the way, is impossible. So I started training leaders. I started training them. I'm talking about, I just started talking to people. Will you help me out? And I went to the people in the church that seemed to be growing. By the way, they were all kind of young believers, just so you know, ready to receive change, ready to move, ready to be used by God, whatever it might be. And I took those few people and I began to teach them and help them understand the concept of what this is really about, because God had given me a deep revelation vision of what this is about. And so all of a sudden there was this thing that began to move in ways I couldn't even explain. I had no idea where all those people came from, by the way. It's something to experience what God wants us to experience. Because, you know, he's a supernatural God. And you know what? He wants to be supernatural through you. You are his best way of getting to the world he created and he loves so much. Small groups are something that allow things to happen. It's geared so that we can move not as an individual, but as a group. We know the power of a group, right? Has anyone seen the Facebook? I'm not sure what thing it's on, but there's 2 days ago, the track of the storm was going to go right up the center of Florida. Y'all remember that? Right over top of Miami Beach. Remember that? Well, a couple of days ago, I think 3 days ago, when that was the track of the storm, there was a church that met out on the ocean front. And they're standing there singing. You can look at this on YouTube, okay? And they're standing out there singing, praising God, lifting their hands, and they stop and they begin to speak to the storm. And guess what happens a day later? The storm turns back to the west. And now it's skirting up the side of Florida. There's power in groups when groups begin to believe by faith. Our men's group up in Barnwell, our men's group was connected with the bike church, the Freedom Bike Church over in Aiken, South Carolina. So I knew the pastor there. I ride motorcycles, and I ride with them sometimes, and we had a motorcycle group, so we were connected to them. And he came to me one day. No, we met for lunch, and he told me, he said, you know, we got our new building. I want you to come see it, and I want you to just pray for us because of these different things. I walked in that building with him, and God spoke to me as plain as Kevin has spoken to me, and he said, Bob, your men's group's supposed to build the platform in this place. I said, wow, I need to go tell them then, don't I, Lord? Yeah, well, you know, that don't happen in the big service too much, right? It ought to, but it don't. I went to those guys and I said, hey, guys, God told me something the other day. I'm hoping you're going to receive it. Of course, now the men's group, they're ready to receive anything. It's like, okay, man, whatever you want to do, God's in it, we're going to do it. So here's what happened. We said, okay, I'm going to figure up the cost, $1,500 it was going to be. Big old stage with a ramp going off of it, because they ride motorcycles up there and do object lessons and all these different kind of crazy things at bike churches that we don't do in normal churches. So you know how that goes. But anyway, they also sing Sweet Home Alabama with just Christian words to it. I kind of like that part. But anyway, here's the deal. I went to the guys. I said, look, it's going to cost $1,500. They started digging in their pockets. I'm talking about, you wouldn't believe what was happening. Money was flying out on the table, and when we got done, we had $120. Okay, so the men's group's not rich. It's okay. It's all right. I told them, I said, hey, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to believe that God will bring the money. And I said, here's what's got to happen. You better start watching your bank account, because God's going to bless you to bring it. Hey, the next week, guy walked in and says, here's $100, $100 bill. Now, I told you our men's group's poor, right? Here's $100. And I said, where'd that come from? In front of the whole group, he said, I don't know. It just showed up this week. I thought I probably ought to give it. And then the next week, I'm sitting at my house, and someone who knows nothing about what's going on in the men's group, now, this person's connected to our church, kind of. One of those people that kind of comes four times a year or something and then goes to other churches, one of those people. So I'm sitting in the service, or in my house, and I hear a knock at the door. I get up. I didn't even hear the person walk up the sidewalk. Open the door, and she said like 10 words to me, God told me to give you this. I'm not sure what it's for, but I know you'll do the right thing with it. Boy, I opened that check up, it's $1,000. And the next week, we had $1,500. We went and bought the material, and you couldn't have stopped those guys from building that platform. And by the way, they did it just like that. Whenever you go do stuff with God in the middle of it, it's going to flow. Did you feel that worship this morning? I'm telling you, when God's in it, it flows. I've got an idea about this thing. I think there are some songs that lead us to worship. And then there are some songs that make us worshipers. And you know, in John chapter 4, he told the woman at the well, God's not looking for worship, he's looking for worshipers. You know why, don't you? Because worship gets to his ear, but a worshiper can walk into the throne room and get right to his heart. Do you understand? God wants to do supernatural things, and there's power when God's people come together as a group and believe him. The Bible says this, where two or three are gathered together. Have you noticed that? It's because God don't want me to accomplish things. I become all prideful. I become all, you know, thinking about how good I am and how important I am to God and all these things. You know what? None of us deserve the grace of God, do we? I don't, for sure. I'm the chiefest in the room. And if you want me to, I'll share my issues with you. I'm serious. Because I got some. But you understand, God owns me. He don't love me because somehow I'm good enough to measure up to his love. He loves me because that's who he is. And his grace is sufficient. And I get to share that with other people. Because when two or three are gathered together, he is there in the midst of them. Just real quick, I'm going to share a couple things with you. In our small group ministries, we saw God do things that are unexplainable. Right now, there is a young woman down in Barnwell that has blessed me so much. Every time I talk to her, I get ministry. This happens now with people who've been involved in small group a lot. Because you see, a small group, when it's done right, when we create that atmosphere of safety and we have permission to really talk from the heart, it changes us. Even though we're not trying to be changed, because you understand the mindset of a small group is, Lord, will you minister to everybody else in the room through me today? As a matter of fact, I want you to receive this right now, okay? Because I think that the church that we've come from maybe taught us to come sit down and, Lord, would you give me something? The problem is that premise goes against kingdom principle. Because Jesus said this, in the kingdom, it's only when you give that you receive. Did y'all get that? If you want to walk in the kingdom now, you got to do it this way, okay? Because your way ain't going to work. Not in God's house. Only God's way works. He's the king, right? It's in giving that you receive. So when we go to a small group, we don't go in there and say, God, I need help. That's not true confession. We say this, God, would you release from me the truth? Because truth brings freedom. Not only in my life, but everybody else around me. Minister to them. And the more we release to them, the more we are changed. So this young woman, probably the most judgeable person that I know, she's got one of those pasts, you know? Anybody got a past in here? All right? Kind of checkered. Yeah, done some things you wish you hadn't, huh? Me too. The thing about this young woman is that from the things that she's done, there are things in her life right now that she deals with. Consequences, struggles, problems. But can I tell you what happened when she got into a small group? She found power to overcome, because now she's not walking alone anymore. That girl, and I'm being as honest as I can be with you, right now she studies the Word more than anybody I know. And she loves Jesus with all her heart. I'll give you her number if you want to call her. I'm just telling you, when you get ready though, because she's going to tell you about Jesus sooner or later in the conversation. It's just a matter of time. And you know what? Only 3 or 4 years ago, she was living in low-income housing, fighting a drug addiction. struggling through all kinds of stuff relationally and financially. Nothing was right. It was all out of whack because outside the kingdom, nothing works. It's not worth it. But you know what? Now she lives in the kingdom and God's just straightening it all out one step at a time. Those kind of stories are not foreign. They're not something that are amazing. It's things that we've seen God doing the whole time we've been walking through this ministry. And God's about to do it in you. He is going to do it in Chester. And it's going to begin in churches like this church that say, we are not accepting the status quo. We're not going to live with a God that don't have power to overcome. We're not going to walk in a way that is unproductive in the kingdom. We're going to believe, we're going to trust, and we're going to know God by what He's doing in us instead of just words on a page. It's something to experience how bold people have become. Because, you know, once you get to a small group and you begin to talk about the truth of what's going on in your life, you don't have to hide anymore. Yeah, you don't have to hide. From our men's group, there's a group that now, they go to Walmart. And why do we go to Walmart anyway? I know, it's because there's no other stores in town, right? or it's cheaper there, right? We go to shop, right? That's not what these people do. They go to Walmart, walk around the store until the Spirit of God tells them who they're supposed to be ministering to. This happens every week, by the way, just so you know. I'm proud as I can be of it. It's like the most amazing thing. And get this, I didn't come up with the idea. I really love that part. It was birthed in them. You know why? Man, they've seen God do stuff they can't explain, and they think He's going to do it again. So they go to Walmart, and they get with people with in wheelchairs, and they lay their hands on them and say, God, we believe You for healing right now. We trust You for ministry. God, You promised You would do it, and we cancel the assignment that the enemy would put on this person, and we agree together with all these other people that You are the miracle worker. You are the healer. They don't even hesitate. I can't explain it. I love that unexplainable stuff. Because when you finally get that junk out of you, you don't have to hide anymore. You know, there's someone in the book of Mark that showed up to a worship service. And I'm going to try to close this thing somehow. A fellow showed up to worship service. And he had a withered hand. You remember the story? I'm not going to go there. You can if you want to. It's Mark chapter 3, verse 1. I just want to sort of paraphrase it and we can get the picture. Because in small group, a lot of times we don't actually read the word, but we look at the principle, the premise of what's going on. The Bible says that Jesus went to the synagogue, and while He was there, they asked Him to teach. But there was a man in the audience who had a withered hand. And I just want to say something very quickly. You may be okay with that thing in your life, but God's not okay with it. You may have learned how to live with that thing in your life, but God's not okay with that thing in your life. All right, now, real quick now, what we just did is we just entered into small group. Because now I've got 100 questions that I can ask you that will help you finally begin to come to grips with whatever your withered hand is. Maybe it was in your past as a child, something happened to you. And as a child, there was a pain that was brought into your life, a wound that was formed. And now you've got the withered hand. We don't know about this guy's life. It could have happened at birth. We don't even know. Might have been an accident. He might have fell off a roof or something. We don't know. But he's sitting there in the worship service now. He's a believer. He's come to worship God. But he's got a withered hand. I'm not sure what your withered hand is, but we're going to try to deal with that today. Because we got a big God who can take care of a whole room of withered hands. Of course, Jesus wasn't about to preach a sermon without without healing. You know, I mean, what's the point really of talking about a supernatural God instead of just doing it? You know, it's like, what's the point? The Bible literally says in that chapter, you please go read it. It says this. It says that everyone in the room was watching him to see what he was going to do. I love that part. Shouldn't the church have that testimony? You know, the community has a problem and everybody's watching the church to see what it will do. Sadly, we haven't shown up for a very long time. God's about to change that. So here's what Jesus did. Instead of preaching some eloquent sermon that, by the way, in the heart of that wounded man would have meant nothing. Because you see, the longer you carry a wound, the harder it is for you to really, truly believe that God is who He says He is. Somebody say amen to that. Jesus stopped everything. He walked over to the man and said, stand up. Now listen really close, because all of these instructions He's giving to you today too. Because it's not until we stand up that God can actually get anything done. Do you realize that as long as you hold your little bag of rocks, as long as you cover up the secrets of your life, do you realize that you take the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God and relegate Him to being small in your heart? You see, when we stand up, we come out of the crowd. Everybody else is sitting down. When we stand up, we acknowledge something is present in my life. When we stand up, we confess. Do you know the importance of confession? Man, it's so important that we're able to say it, not hide it. And then He said something else to him. Stretch out your hand. Now, just real quick. Religion has taught us to stretch out our hand, but it's always that good one. Right? Am I right? Y'all say amen to that? We agree with that? I'm sorry. I mean for Christians to agree. You know, all this stuff's about agreement. Y'all know that, right? In the spirit realm, it's all about agreement. All right? So here's what happens. Religion has taught us this. When you come to church, you got to smell good, look good, talk good, act good, you know, all that stuff, right? So we come to church and we stretch out that good hand, don't we? But back at the house, there's some other stuff going on, right? You know, the marriage is kind of suffering. Yeah, the finances are in the dump, right? The thought life is like crazy. And you know what? We haven't ministered to anybody for 10 years, so what's the point of reading the Bible or even praying? We don't need the power of God, right? It's all a mess. It's all just jumbled up. It's all like a puzzle before it gets put together. You know, kind of a mess. It's what the church has taught us to do. Just come stretch out the good hand. How you doing today? Oh, I'm fine. Sure you are. You know what I love about this guy? He stretched forth the withered hand. This is small groups, church. All right? It's time to get real. You want to walk in the power of God? You want to start growing again? This is where it starts. This guy in front of everybody, standing up in front of the whole crowd, Jesus said, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out. And the Bible says that God restored it. You know what that word restore means? To build a new structure. God did a creative miracle just like that in the guy's life. And his withered hand became like unto his good hand. I don't know how many of y'all are thinking about going to small group or how many have already signed up or got with the leader. But can I beg you to do something? Will you please, please run away from that spirit of convenience? Please. Jesus told a story about it, and to this very day, that story rings true in 2017. It was the story of the Good Samaritan. Y'all remember that? You know, Jesus told the story from a question that was asked. You know, the Pharisees, they're always trying to find things, so he's dealing with them. And one of them pipes up out of all his wisdom and says, "So, who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor?" That's the question. Jesus said, "I've got to tell you a story so you can understand that. A man traveling fell among thieves." You know the story. Got beat up in the Walmart parking lot. And people just kept on passing him by right there in the middle of the puddle of blood. No one wanted to be inconvenienced enough to do anything for him. Are you listening, church? Because the spirit of inconvenience has invaded God's people. It says, even the preacher came by. Didn't even have time for him. We don't think our preacher would do that, amen? Too busy. Got too much to do. And then a Samaritan came. Some humble person in Chester stopped, bent over that guy, and began to breathe the blessing of restoration back into his life. The story says that he picked him up, put him on his own donkey, and took him to a hotel, cleaned his wounds, and told the hotel manager, "Whatever cost is involved, you send me the bill. I'm not going to be inconvenienced. I'm going to love." You know, Jesus told us that when you come before the throne of God, this is going to be what God looks at. Remember Matthew 25? Tells the story of the great judgment day. Sheep on one side, goats on the other. And God's going to speak to them. And he's going to say this. And I'm going to put it in kind of paraphrased understanding, okay? But here's what he's going to say. "Did you understand that I was in every single person that came in and out of your life?" Church, did you hear that? "As you done to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." I was in every single one of those people. And what did you do? You know what happens in a small group? Because all of us fight with the inconvenience thing. I'm sure that sometimes Brantley wants Kevin to do maybe something else, and you know, they get a phone call and there's somebody that's got a problem or in the hospital and he's got to go break an engagement or something like that, because it happened 1,000 times to me. Serving God's never convenient, is it, church? But what God can do when an individual gets with a group of people is he can deliver them from that spirit of inconvenience. Because now we get to hold each other accountable. We get to walk together. I'm not going to be the only one there trying to clean the mess up. I'm not going to be the only one there trying to serve God. I'm not going to be the only one that's there trying to win a soul. I'm not going to be the only one, you see, because I'm walking with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We become stronger. One can kill 1,000. But 2 can take 10,000. You understand that today you have a withered hand. I'm not sure what it is in your life. I know in my life I had serious issues with resentment in my heart from a very young age. Matter of fact, I think it's something that maybe runs in my family. I'm not sure. But I dealt with time after time after time in my relationships and in all these different places, work history and all these different things, there were ways that that spirit of resentment would come and it would begin to break down and tear down the things in my life that God was trying to build up. Anybody been there before? Maybe not with resentment, but maybe something else. Something just keeps tearing down the stuff in your life. But I'll tell you this today. I stand before you a new man, a new creation. I stand before you today delivered by that same Almighty God who does the supernatural things, because He's God. Here's my question. Do you want to walk out with your withered hand? Because you understand, there's a good possibility you may. I mean, if it's like it has been in other worship services, that's normal. Are you ready to go to the not so normal places? We do have to get used to the abnormal. Are you ready to say, God, this is it. I'm going to stretch forth my withered hand. Maybe it's attitude issues. Maybe it's a thought process in your life. Maybe you've been believing lies for a long time. Lies about yourself. Lies about maybe your spouse. Lies about your church. Maybe it's emotional struggles on the inside. Maybe there's something on the inside of you that instead of being able to process through and just love people for who they are, you just always want them to be like you want them to be. And you're always unhappy because nobody ever seems to be able to read your mind. Maybe you have an addiction. What is your withered hand today? Because here's what I believe. I believe we can come before Almighty God, and if we'll stretch that thing out, He'll heal it. It's really incredibly simple. It's not even hard. It's who He is. So I want you to stand with me, would you? As I close this message, and I'm going to give this over to Kevin in just a moment, but I'm begging you today to be a part of the small group ministry. Kevin said something before I got up here. He said something about this I-58 ministry being a ministry of small groups in communities and neighborhoods to change this whole county. God is able to do this. And our goal as we go to build porches or fix roofs or do plumbing, whatever it might be, is not just to fix the human problem, but to walk into there and meet the spiritual issue as well. You know what that means? It means that God might be calling you to come alongside someone and start a small group someday, soon, in somebody's house. I know that seems far out for some of us. Some believe that because you've always been in the seat, you don't need to really get out of the seat. The truth is, God wants you in the kingdom, walking in it. He wants you to be a part of it. He wants you to play ball on the team. You're picked. You're it. All right, let's stretch out our withered hands. You want to? Come on, let's do it. Let's stretch out our withered hands. God, today, we believe You're the healer. God, we know who You are. And right now, Lord, we stretch out those withered hands, those things that are within us that pull us back from Your work, Your purpose, from Your power. And today, in Jesus' name, we come against the spirits that move in our lives and destroy our relationships, that mess around in our finances, that come against our bodies and make us sick. And Lord, we declare, because it is in Your heart, that we will be made whole by the blood of Jesus Christ. God, we thank You. that this work that you do in us is an individual work of love and grace. And we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. Yeah. That's a lot of good seats on there this morning. So we're going to dismiss you. Go and be dangerous this week. You know, go love somebody recklessly this week. If you need some ministry, if you want to bring that withered hand and just feel like you need a little extra prayer, somebody to talk to, then we're just going to hang around, okay? Otherwise, we'll dismiss everyone that needs to go. God bless you.